Chapter 13. Sunday, November 4th to Tuesday, November 6th. Bronwyn. Sunday, 10 a.m. With Eli, me, my mother, and Nate's mom in Eli's small office at Until Proven, there aren't enough chairs, so I sit on the floor. Yesterday, I told my mother about me and Nate, after she told me how worried she and Dad were. Finally, she agreed it was okay to call Nate's mom, but she wanted to come with me today. Eli starts the meeting by saying to Nate's mom he's sorry about her son's arrest. He tells us Nate is in a detention center for young people, not one for adults, and this is a good thing. Then he asks her to tell us what she knows. The school received a call that Nate had drugs in his locker. She starts. Who from? Eli asks, writing notes. They wouldn't tell me. I think the person didn't give their name. But they opened his locker on Friday after school. They didn't find any drugs. But they did find a bag with Simon's water bottle and EpiPen. And all the EpiPens from the nurse's office. Ah, says Eli. So the school called the police, and they searched our house on Saturday morning. Mrs. McCauley continues. They found a computer in Nate's room. Those Tumblr posts that keep coming since Simon died were on it. Ah, Eli says again. Did they find any fingerprints? No, Mrs. McCauley says. What does Nate say about all this? Eli asks. That he has no idea how any of these things got into his locker or the house, she says. And Nate's locker hadn't been searched before this? Eli looks at me as he asks this. It was searched the first day after it happened, I say. And the police searched the house as well, looking for drugs. I can feel my mother looking at me and add, they didn't find anything. And they didn't find Simon's things or computer then. Is your house usually locked? Eli asks Mrs. McCauley. It's never locked, she replies. I don't think the door even has a lock anymore. Huh, says Eli, writing more notes. Then, Mrs. McCauley says, with her voice shaking, they're saying they want to move Nate to an adult jail because he's too dangerous to be with other young people. The awful shock on Eli's face terrifies me. No, 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 he says. That mustn't happen. Mrs. McCauley, we must plan what to do. I can help, I say. I'm about to tell Eli about the red Chevrolet, but he holds up his hand and says, no, Bronwyn, you can't be part of this. If I'm going to help Nate, I can't talk to the other suspects. My mother stands up, saying, he's right. You need to let Mr. Kleinfelter and Mrs. McCauley manage things now. Then she says gently to Mrs. McCauley, good luck with all this. Thank you, Mrs. McCauley says. And thank you, Bronwyn. I should feel good, but I don't. Eli needs to know everything we know. But how am I going to tell him? Addie. Monday, 6:30 p.m. My mother is being really stupid, telling me I need to grow my hair and make myself look nice again so I can find another guy. She says I need to marry a boy who'll get a good job and look after me. And Ashton and I are arguing with her. Mom, Ashton says, Addie is 17. She doesn't need to... But my phone rings, and I tell them to be quiet. It's Bronwyn, and it sounds as if she's crying. Could you come to my house? She asks. I'm going to ask Cooper, too. It sounds better than arguing with my mother. Sure, I say. Text me your address. Bronwyn's eyes are tired, and her hair is really untidy. I realize that each of us has had a really bad time. Me, when Jake and I broke up, and my friends turned against me. Cooper, when he was out at his gay. And now Bronwyn, when the guy she loves is in jail for murder. She's never said she loves him, but it's obvious she does. Cooper's already here. And Bronwyn's sister, Maeve, who has a laptop. How's Nate? Have you seen him? I ask. It's the wrong question, I guess. Bronwyn's eyes fill with tears, and she says, he doesn't want me to see him. His mom says he's okay. Cooper and I haven't seen Bronwyn like this before. Anyway, thanks for coming. I guess I'm asking for your help. I just want us to talk and try to understand things. I haven't found out anything about the car yet, Cooper says. I wasn't thinking about that at the moment, says Bronwyn. But please keep checking. I just want to read through those Tumblr posts again. The police are saying Nate wrote them, and I thought we could read them together and see if we notice anything weird. Is that okay? Cooper and I both say, sure. Maeve turns her screen so we can all see it. We start at the beginning of the Tumblr posts, each of us reading silently, with Maeve moving the screen up. Just a minute, says Cooper. This didn't happen. Look at the one dated October 20th, about the detective eating a whole plate of cookies while he was interviewing the four of us. That's weird, says Bronwyn. We were never all at the police station in a room together. Usually the person who's writing these posts knows the correct information. I read the post again. Cooper and Bronwyn are right. It didn't happen. But I told Jake it did. Bronwyn. Tuesday, 7:30 a.m. After Addie explains about telling that story to Jake, I text the link to Nate's mom, explaining why I'm doing it. Cooper checks with Louise and finds out that Jake was at football practice with him all the time we were in detention. So, Jake didn't actually kill Simon. Cooper also finds out that an old red Chevrolet was taken into a repair shop in town, and he gives me the details. You can find out a lot from a car's license plate number and a phone number, like the owner's name and address and where he goes to school. So that's why I'm in the parking lot of Eastland High this morning. Eastland starts 40 minutes earlier than us, so I can get back to Bayview before school starts. Suddenly, I see an old red Chevrolet with shiny new paint parking near me. Without thinking, I call out to the short, dark-haired boy who gets out of it. He looks at me, then says, I know you. You're the girl from the Bayview investigation, right? Yeah, I say. What are you doing here? Well, I say. Then I can't think what to say next. He turns to go, and I say, wait. He turns back, and I can see he's looking nervous. I'm here because of your car, I say. I saw you have an accident in our parking lot that day. The day Simon died? Then I add, I saw your license plate. There's no reason to tell him I've been checking on him. He looks as if he's going to walk away. Then, he goes round to the other side of my car and climbs inside. He pushes his hand through his hair. This is weird. I'm Sam. Sam Barron. I'm Bronwyn Rojas, I say, I guess you know that already.
Yeah, he replies. I've been watching the news and wondering if I should say something, he says.
We didn't do anything wrong, I think.
Who's we?
I ask.
Me and a friend, Sam says. We had the accident because a guy paid us $1,000 each to do it. He said it was a joke.
My hands are holding the steering wheel very tightly.
Who?
Do you know the guy's name?
I didn't, but...
I reach into my backpack for my phone, saying, I have a photo here.
I have a photo of Jake. I don't need a photo, Sam says. I know his name. He didn't tell me it, but I knew when I saw the television news.
Not Nate. Please not Nate.
Who?
I whisper.
Simon Kelleher.